Views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily represent those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. For more information on this or other KUCI programs, visit KUCI.org or KUCITalk.org. If a Middle Earth elf lived today in Southern California, how would she celebrate and support the arts, music, and her community? What would Arwen do? Thursdays with me, Tani Tenuvio, on KUCI 88.9 FM and streaming live at KUCI.org. Ellen Salalumin Aminti Alfa. And Michael Vanin and Sui Led to all my elf friends. I am Tani Tenuvio, the resident KUCI Middle Earth elf. And coming up in just a few moments, an elvish perspective on life with What Would Arwen Do? This is KUCI broadcasting from the University of California in Irvine. KUCI, the best radio station in the history of the universe. To all my elf friends, I am Tani Tenuvio, And in case you are tuning in for the very first time to KUCI, broadcasting from the University of California in Irvine, this is the show on every Thursday morning from 9 to 10 a.m., where we ask, I ask, if a Middle Earth elf lived today in Orange County, California, what might her life look like? How would she celebrate and support the arts, music, her community, and the preservation of Earth, its beauty, resources, and creatures? Some people ask, what would Jesus do? Well, I ask, what would Arwen do? And in case you're not familiar with who Arwen was, she was the daughter of Elrond, the Lord of Rivendell, a place of great learning, wisdom, and lore, not unlike the community here at UC Irvine. And Arwen was, I believe, an archetype of a true princess of the light. I think that princesses nowadays get kind of a bad rap sometimes as being mostly vain and materialistic and self-absorbed. But I believe that that is the shadow side of the princess archetype. There is the light side, which embodies courage, wisdom, beauty, service to others, sense of humor. And I think we see those characterized very well in Arwen, in the movies especially, in Galadriel, her grandmother. And so I, if you're looking for a good role model in life, you might think about looking to the elves. In Tolkien and The Lord of the Rings, A Guide to Middle Earth, Tolkien scholar Colin Duryas wrote, in his invented mythology of Middle Earth, Tolkien intended that his elves were an extended metaphor of a key aspect of human nature. This, quote, elven quality in human life was a central preoccupation of Tolkien's. Elves, like dwarves, hobbits, and the like, partially represent human beings. In Tolkien's mythology, elves represent what is high and noble in humans. In particular, they represent the arts in their highest form, work done in the image of God and his created world. So I believe that this, quote, elven quality exists still in every living person and yearns for expression through gifts of creativity, nobility, service to others. And so my hope is by tuning in and listening sometimes to some of the musings of this elf, or very often I have a guest on, which today I'm so excited. I have Kat Clark is here with me this morning. She'll be on in just a few moments. She is a local artist, a jewelry artist, and I discovered her work over at one of my favorite places, Soul at Home, which I've mentioned before. Soul at Home is a great supporter of our programming here at KUCI. And just to give a little plug for our fund drive, which will be starting next Monday and going on for 2 weeks, the one time of the year that we invite you all to participate with us in supporting independent programming in both in music and public affairs. And we have some great premiums from local businesses. One of those is a 10-class package from our friends over at Soul at Home. And a little bit later in the show this morning, I'll be giving away 2 weeks of unlimited yoga over there to a caller in, but not quite yet. And so I was over at Soul at Home recently. They have wonderful workshops over there, and they also showcase the jewelry of quite a few local artists. And Kat Clark's jewelry is there being shown, and I just fell in love with her work. In fact, when I saw her work, I thought, oh my gosh, this is the work of the elves. If a Noldoran elf was here making jewelry in Southern California, that would be Kat Clark. So we're going to be hearing from her in just a little bit about her journey and life as an artist and a jeweler and her creative life. So hopefully that will be some inspiration for you. I believe a lot of times we have a yearning in our hearts. Sometimes we have a gift that we don't even know that we had. And so I always like to encourage people to get out and try something new, maybe take a jewelry class or a pottery class or go to a Renaissance fair and pick up a bow and arrow. You might discover not only a secret skill that you never knew you had, but also a passion that will not only enrich your life, but the lives of those around you. So it was with me a few years ago when a friend of mine said, Tani, you should come over to UCI and do a radio show about your life as an elf. I've been doing my little experiment of my life as an elf for going on 7 years now. And I thought, oh, no. And they said, oh, yeah, they're always looking for interesting public affairs programming. And I'd never in my life ever even considered the idea of being on the radio. But I thought, well, you know, maybe it could help to inspire others. Might be fun, and I might be able to be of service in some way. And being a part of KCI has absolutely transformed my life on so many levels, through the people that I've met here, through learning that there are things that I could do that I never imagined that I could do, the people that I've got to meet through the interviews and just different events that I've gone to. It has truly been a wonderful, wonderful blessing. And who would have ever imagined? I certainly would not have before my friend said to me, Tani, you should think about maybe coming and doing a little radio show. So you never know where your adventures might take you. So this morning, before we get into our interview, I wanted to share a little bit. I always like to share a little bit from the world of the Lord of the Rings. And if you've been listening, also before I get too far into the show, I want to say a very special hello. I always like to give a shout out to those who are listening. And I know this morning, if you've listened before, you know I'm a big advocate of message boards. Not that we should spend all of our time on the internet. I think we need to keep things in balance. But if you can't find people that share your passion in real life, sometimes you can actually find them on the internet. And I was very blessed to find, after I developed a passion for Middle Earth, to find a group of people who are wonderful that I interact with through a message board called Tolkien Online, theonering.com. And lest people say, oh, well, those aren't real people. Those are just people you meet on the internet. I have met many of these people in person. We've been to Tolkien gatherings together and had dinner and fun. And a lot of these people have become my lifelong friends. So they are not just internet friends. They are also real life friends. And my community of people there are wonderfully supportive and creative in ways that you can't even imagine. So you might want to visit us over there. But this morning, I want to say a very special hello to Silver Scribe, who is listening from up in Canada and working from home. Arwen from up in Washington. Rowan Berry, who I believe is over in England. I always get the... Or maybe she's Midwest. You know what? I am always getting people's geographical locations mixed up. But it's not so much the geography as it is the person. And I don't know if Ro is being able to listen in from Escondido this morning. But anyway, a very special hello and shout out if Gwyn Elf comes on, or The Hobbit. I want to say hello to them and to anyone who might be listening here in Southern California. A very special hello. And I want to say also a special wish. We just started our new DJ training. So a very special hello to Darcia and Jana, who are now taking the DJ training and maybe having a show in a few months. So lots of interesting things going on. But I wanted to read a little bit from the Silmarillion, which is a work that J.R.R. Tolkien worked on most of his life. And however, we only have it to enjoy because of the continued labor of his son, Christopher Tolkien. So the Silmarillion, which the Silmarils were jewels that were made over in Valinor. And the backstory, though, of the Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit, all come from, this is all the backstory and the history of, even down to how the world was made, which is in the Ainulindali, the Song of the Ainur. Excuse me, a wonderful, beautiful creation story from J.R.R. Tolkien. So the Noldrin elves were over, they all awoke here in Middle Earth, traveled west to Valinor, elven home. And as they were there, different elves had different gifts. The Teleran elves were lovers of the sea, great singers and poets. The Noldoran elves were very good craftsmen. And Fëanor, being one of the most famous, or infamous perhaps, of the elves, was the creator of the Silmarils, where he captured the light of the two trees. And I'm going to read a little bit about, because one of the things I love about the elves is that... they love to share their gifts with others. I think a lot of times we make things and we want to just hoard them and keep them. But this is not the way of the elves. So I'm going to read a little bit for you here from... this is of Eldamar of Elvenhome. It says, Manwë and Varda, who were of the Valar, loved most the Vanyar, the fair elves. But the Noldor were beloved of Iuli, and he and his people came often among them. Great became their knowledge and their skill, yet even greater was their thirst for more knowledge, and in many things they soon surpassed their teachers. They were changeful in speech, for they had great love of words, and sought ever to find names more fit for all things that they knew or imagined. And it came to pass that the masons of the house of Finway, quarrying in the hills after stone, for they delighted in the building of high towers, first discovered the earth gems, and brought them forth in countless myriads. And they devised tools for the cutting and shaping of gems, and carved them in many forms. They hoarded them not, but gave them freely, and by their labor enriched all of Valinor. And I love where it talks about the Telerin elves, who were the lovers of the sea, and it talks about where they were on the shores of Eldamar. Of the Teleri, it says, there they dwelt, and if they wished, they could see the light of the trees, and could tread the golden streets of Valmar and the crystal stairs of Tirion upon Tuna, the green hill. But most of all, they sailed in their swift ships on the waters of the Bay of Elvenhome, or walked in the waves upon the shore with their hair gleaming in the light beyond the hill. Many jewels the Noldor gave them, opals and diamonds and pale crystals, which they strewed upon the shore and scattered in the pools. Marvelous were the beaches of Alindi in those days. And many pearls they won for themselves from the sea, and their halls were of pearl, and of pearl were the mansions of Olwë at Aqualondë, the haven of the swans, lit with many lamps. For that was their city, and the haven of their ships, and those were made in the likeness of swans, with beaks of gold and eyes of golden jet. The gate of that harbor was an arch of living rock, sea-carved, and it lay upon the confines of Eldamar, north of the Kalakira, where the light of the stars was bright and clear. But this is my favorite part right here, where it says, many jewels the Noldor gave them, opals and diamonds and pale crystals, which they strewed upon the shores and scattered in the pools. So the elves were bringing their crystals and their jewels and strewing them upon the beach to glitter in the starlight. And I like to do that every once in a while. I have a few meditation gardens, and I always like to bring some crystals and leave them there for the fairy folk once in a while, and in the boughs of trees and scattered upon the ground. You might think about doing that once in a while, giving some little gifts back to the earth. But it's also wonderful because these gifts are given to us to enjoy as well. And I believe that crystals have great power, as we see also with the three rings of that we see come into great play in the Lord of the Rings movie. As I mentioned, my guest is Kat Clark. We're going to be getting right way to a little interview coming up here. But in the meantime, I wanted to share a little music with you while we transition. And as you know, I am the Yoga Elf. We have an event coming up in just a few weeks, an artisan fair where Kat Clark will be showcasing her jewelry, and you'll get to meet her in person along with some other artists. So we'll be hearing more about that in just a few moments. In the meantime, I'm going to play a little music for you from The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, the complete recordings. And I thought I would play here the song The Passing of the Elves. And this is that part of the movie that's so beautiful, where Sam and Frodo see the elves walking through the woods on their journey west. So please stay with us. We'll be back in just a few moments. Again, I am Tani Chenuvial. This is KUCI in Irvine, the best radio station in the history of Middle Earth. And that was music from The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, the complete recordings. Music composed, orchestrated, and conducted by Howard Shore. And as you know, we always start the show with the song from The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, The Council of Elrond. Again, music from Howard Shore. Quite magical. I think that is, I love that song, sung in Elvish. But I also believe that the elves had had some very joyous songs as well. However, that was the song as they were leaving Middle-earth. And I think many of them, even though they were happy to be going to Elvenhome and be reunited with many of their friends and family, you know, there's always a sadness at times about leaving some place that you've grown to love. And so I see that we see that a little taste of beauty and bitterness, the cup of bitterness and sweetness that the elves know about. So, as I mentioned this morning, I have a very special guest, Kat Clark, who is a local jewelry artisan. Absolutely gorgeous work, which if you want to take a look over at Soul at Home, it is showcased over there. And she is going to be present in person at the Artisans Fair that is coming up over at Soul at Home. With several other local artists. There'll be jewelry by Melinda Alexander, Denise Ross, Janine Shambo, Erin McAllister, with ceramics by Susan Wills, Dana Aaron, some art glass by Linda Calso, gourd art by Sylvia Marson, and handmade cards by Annalisa Andres. And so you can come and have an experience of the arts. This is going to be on Sunday, May 3rd, from 12 o'clock to 5 p.m. The admission is free. It's a lovely, lovely venue. And, of course, Kat Clark will be there. So, Kat, thank you so much for being on the show this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. So tell us a little bit about your background as a jewelry artisan. Could you also please give people your website, so in case you want to go online and take a look at your work.
Okay, my website is katdesignsusa.com. And I've been making jewelry for about 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
I was schooled in the arts at a very, very young age. Age 9, I was sent to a special school. And the absolute gift of discovering that you have some sort of creative talent is then being able to create.
Yes.
And it's just been a fantastic journey since then.
So when you first got involved with art, was it were you involved with jewelry and gems and stuff, or were you originally introduced through another type of art venue?
Oh, no. It was the classic making of, oil painting and watercolor and drawing and ink, all the fine art techniques.
Uh-huh. So when did you discover that you wanted to work with gems?
Well, actually, I began by making beads themselves.
Oh.
And they're polymer clay beads,
mm-hmm.
also known as Fimo beads. And I had these great collection of beads, and, you know, suddenly I'm thinking, okay, well, I need to do something with it. So that's what got it started.
Oh, I think that may be very similar to what happened with the elves, where they would delve and find these gems, and it's like, okay, what do we do with them? Oh, let's make some rings and some necklaces and some rails. And so that's where creativity begets more creativity. So how long have you been actually doing jewelry now?
15 years.
Oh, my goodness.
It's been a while.
Yes. So when you first started out, so you were saying, I find it very fascinating that you were actually making beads. How did that come about? What is involved in the process, even if someone would say, wow, I never thought you could actually make your own beads. How would someone explore looking into doing something like that?
Well, a very dear friend of mine, her daughter had taken a class to learn how to make the beads. And on one of her birthdays, her daughter gave her this jewelry that she had made, and I was just completely blown away by the medium. I could not believe that she had actually created these things. And right then and there, I decided I had to find a class using this medium to create these objects. And I found a class at Saddleback College.
Oh, okay.
It was just a community-based class. It wasn't during their normal school year. and took the class, and that was it. I just fell in love with it.
Now, do you have to have like a kiln or an oven, or how do you do that?
Well, the beauty of working with FEMO or palmeric clay mm-hmm. is that it can be baked literally in your oven in your house because it's a low fire method. You bake the beads at about 225 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have pretty good ventilation, so a nice hood, you know, you turn that on.
Mm-hmm.
And you're literally curing the clay in the oven.
Wow. And you can get the clay...
The clay is sold at all craft stores and special art stores.
Mm-hmm.
You can probably even get it over the internet, I'm sure.
So these creations that I see of yours, a lot of these are actually beads. Like the one that you have on this morning, is that the Buddha?
That is Kuan Yin.
Which is who?
She's the Buddhist goddess of mercy.
Ah.
And she's made out of cinnabar. I collect cinnabar and have been for years.
Cinnabar is a stone?
No, cinnabar is it's a type of material that's made from lacquer.
Oh.
And it's layers and layers and layers upon layers of lacquer that is then cured into a block.
Mm-hmm.
And then the block is broken into smaller pieces, and then the pieces are carved.
So you carved that?
No, I did not carve this. This is a Tibetan piece that I purchased from a merchant.
It's absolutely gorgeous.
She's beautiful.
Oh. Yeah. So many different ways
mm-hmm.
to get involved in jewelry making. I know, actually, right here on the flyer is one of my favorite of all of your pieces, these beautiful cuffs mm-hmm. that you have. Well, since we're not a visual media right now, if you could describe to people a little bit about this. So is this copper?
It's a cuff made entirely formed of copper wire,
mm-hmm.
different gauges, and you form an armature, and then you take beads and stones and pearls and things like that, which that's what I do,
mm-hmm.
and I literally bead them onto the frame of the cuff, the armature that's been created.
They are so absolutely gorgeous. And are there pictures of this on your website?
Yes,
pictures
there are.
Of these? Mm-hmm. Because we cannot justify it just by trying to describe it. They are so incredibly gorgeous. Every time I see them, I'm just enchanted. I mean, there are, even if you didn't wear them, they're like little pieces of art.
Yes, they are.
And the choice, the colors that you weave together in these pieces are so absolutely incredible. And these, their cuffs are actually about 2 to 3 inches wide.
Yes, they
at
are.
The widest part.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, the first time I saw them, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's the jewelry of the elves right here at Soul at Home. If this is ever a piece of elvish jewelry, if ever there was one, this is it. And they're just so gorgeous. So what is the life of a jewelry artist? You are one of those people who is actually making a way, you know, making a living through mm-hmm. your craft and through your trade. Is that correct?
Yes. I am what you would call a fully immersed artist. I teach my jewelry design classes. I make jewelry. I sell it. I give it away. And I wear it. It's all about, you know, creating art that can adorn the human form.
Oh, yes. And I think that's definitely a very elvish concept. So what is how long did it take for you to be able to do this, you know, to where this is your vocation, this is where you actually are doing and supporting yourself through your work? I mean, was it always that way? Were you fortunate to be one of those people? Or what did you have to do on your journey to get to this place?
Well, the first part of the journey is discovering the creative ability to actually make something. Mm-hmm. And as an artist, that's always the first thing that you want to do because it's very satisfying. And then you start amassing things and you think, well, gee, you know, there's only so much of this you can actually own.
Right.
So then you start thinking about maybe wanting to sell or certainly give it away. And it just sort of takes that sort of course. I really started this very, very earnestly in terms of turning it into my business. And that was about 10 years ago. So it's about 5 years into the journey
mm-hmm.
because that whole time too, I was learning a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I was just completely engrossed by it. I just couldn't get enough of it. learning various techniques and making various jewelry forms.
Uh-huh.
And revisiting some things that I thought I would never do mm-hmm. because I hated it when I first tried it, which is in the case of these cuffs.
Really?
The wire working. I took the course and absolutely hated the techniques and thought, I am never going to do this.
Oh, my gosh.
And
I'm
here
so
we
glad.
Are. Oh, I love it.
I'm so glad that it came back around to you and you decided to give it another, maybe I should try this again because, mm-hmm. As I mentioned, I mean, all your work is beautiful, but I just think that those cuffs are so absolutely exquisite. And I would imagine also, just, you know, based on your work, that people would be saying, you know, oh, you know, Kat, would you make one of these for me? Or, you know, why don't you sell these? I'd like to buy one for my sister. I'd like to, did you have that kind of experience as you started to get into making your jewelry?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, a very good friend of mine just pushed me into it. She says, you have to do this. Just like your friend said, you need to do a radio show.
The world needs this gift.
Man, thank goodness for other people that have, you know, faith in you
right.
and your ability and can see things that often you can't see yourself.
Right.
And so that was back in 1999 when she said, you know, you really need to do this. This is something you really need to do.
So the other part that sometimes is a challenge for people, especially those of us who are pretty creative, it's been a challenge for me as an artist and as I teach yoga, I do some writing, but trying to manage the business aspect of it, especially because of, you know, you have to kind of be an independent contractor. And so there are a lot of things you have to kind of juggle and know about that are completely different from when you can just go to work somewhere and you do your work and maybe even you love your work, but you do your work, you get a paycheck, the taxes are taken out, all the things are taken out, you get the insurance, you get the 401k. And so all of these things are kind of in place for you. When you're an independent contractor, you have to think about doing these things on your own. What has been that that journey for you? Some people are lucky to be extremely creative and also have a good administrative gift, you know, for doing that. But for some of the rest of us, it's really a challenge to make the business aspect of our craft work.
Well, it is tough. Fortunately for me, I have that left brain, right brain thing going on. So what I actually did for a living before I started doing jewelry mm-hmm. was I was doing corporate accounting for 20 years.
Mm.
So doing that whole part of the business side of it comes very naturally, and it's very easy for me. Thank goodness.
Yes.
Because I'd be lost if I didn't have that sense.
Yeah. And see, for me, that is a challenge because when I was working in the world, I had nothing to do with numbers. I was an editor. So I just got paid for playing with words all day long and making other people's work shine and things like that, and had really absolutely nothing to do with, and you know, even the budget, you know, like you kind of manage the budget for the department, sort of, so for me, it's kind of an ongoing challenge. But I know that there are tools out there for those of us, you know, there are workshops and finance workshops and how to set up your business and things like that. So how about with your family? Has your family, are you married?
I am married. I've been married for going on 23 years.
Aww.
To a very, very wonderful man. Love of my life. And we have two children. My son is 21 and our daughter is 18.
Mm.
And just the greatest family on the planet. And
so,
very supportive. They love it. They love what I do.
So when with them, was it kind of like when you decided to do that? Well, of course, when you first started doing it, they're probably like, oh, you know, that's beautiful, Mom, and all of that. When you decided to do it as a business, were they kind of like, oh, really? Or were they like, oh, well, it's about time you actually, you know, decided to do something like that?
Well, obviously, I think my husband was really happy when I decided to get serious about trying to sell it because, like I said, there's only so much you can amass.
Right.
And the kids, I think, you know, were very kind of proud that their mom was doing this. And for me, as a woman, it was very, very important to project an image to our son that moms do this other stuff.
Right.
And they can be loving moms and nurturing and all that, but they can also be these businesswomen.
Right.
And that they are very capable. And my daughter the same way. She's been capable since she came out of my womb. So it's been a very positive thing for her as well. And she makes great jewelry as well.
Oh, really? So yeah. That's what she does?
Well, it's what she, you know, she loves doing it. It's not what she does. She's she's a college student, but.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it's wonderful because she has her own design sense. It's very different from mine. So you just see that part of her come out, you know.
And I think that's what's wonderful, because sometimes we can take our craft and it does become our livelihood and we can make it work. But sometimes the thing that we love to do is just, it's just something that we do. We, you know, maybe we also love, I mean, some people, I know someone who loves doing accounting work. She loves playing with numbers all day long. I'm like, it would make me absolutely insane. But she just loves doing that. But she has a little hobby that she does on the side. She, you know, I think it's gardening or something. It's like, but she doesn't want to become a full-time gardener. But she absolutely loves making this beautiful little garden. She makes, you know, loves her little plants and everything. So sometimes it's something that we do that enriches that part of us. But I think all of us actually have that in us. There's something that resonates with our soul. And I think a lot of times we don't take time in life to discover what those are, or we think that we don't have the gift. I know it may sound very funny, but I actually grew up thinking that I was not a creative person. In my household, my mom was creative. She would do poetry and she would play the guitar. And, you know, mom was always the creative one. And I, you know, they would always say, oh, Tani, you're so good at reading, you know. And then I would do a little writing or something because I was, like, reading past my level in school and all of that. So I just thought that I was, you know, kind of a book person. And even when I was older, I remember when I got when I was married and we had bought a new home in Palm Desert, and I said, I do not know how to decorate. I am not going to ruin these beautiful, gorgeous walls in this new home. So until we can, you know, afford to get a interior designer to come in and help us, I'm not going to put any pictures. So we lived there for almost a year and never really decorated our house because I just didn't believe that I had the ability to do that. And it wasn't actually until years later when I went to work in a little boutique that The woman that did the displays there was so creative, and I was always just in awe of how she could put these things together. And we were having a gift exchange at Christmas, and I'd been to this other little place, and I'd seen these cute little bears that were doing these little things, and I thought, you know what, I can make one of these little bears. It was in a little garden thing, and it was whole. And so I thought, I'm going to make one of these for Sylvia for Christmas. So I got all the things, went to the craft store, and got a little Boyd's bear, and took it and did gave it to her as a gift exchange. And the owner, you know, of the shop was there. She's like, oh, my gosh. She said, Tani, these are so adorable. Will you make them for the boutique? So she ordered 12 to put in the boutique at Fashion Island, 12 to go up to Pacific Palisades. And I remember thinking, wow, maybe I am a little bit creative. You know, I mean, for 40-something years, I had thought of myself as not being creative. And it wasn't until someone else, you know, said, oh, you know, and but then I owned it and I loved doing it. Of course, now that turned into a whole other thing, but it was actually a wonderful thing that I did with my mom, helped her as therapy through her cancer treatment. And it wasn't my thing so much to continue making bears forever. But I discovered that I was creative. And I think a lot of us, I hear people so many times saying, oh, I'm just not very creative. And I think that's because you haven't explored yet to find that little niche and that thing that that fuels your heart, that thing that when you spin, you start working on it, like, I don't know if you've discovered this with your jewelry, time goes away.
Mm-hmm. It disappears. You can sit for hours doing this. That's one of the things that I love about the teaching process. I hear that all the time. I just don't know how to create, or I don't have a creative bone in my body. And my response always is, you just haven't found your voice yet. And it's finding that voice. And it's understanding that creating is a process.
Mm-hmm.
It's an actual process. Most people just think it's this thing that just comes from somewhere, but it doesn't. It's a process. And so through my classes, I do a lot of the demystifying of what it is and break it down into units that people can understand and then do something with. And before you know it, the class is over. They've made an incredible piece of jewelry. And they go, I can't believe I did this.
Well, you know, it's very funny because I guess somehow that escaped me. I mean, I knew about it, that you taught classes, but I kind of missed that part of things because actually it's funny because jewelry making has been something that I've always wanted to do. In fact, I have a whole bunch of, I have every kind of little tool, and I have a whole bunch of gems and stuff that I've collected from different places, but I really don't know what to do with them. I don't know how to put them all together. And but I want to do something that's different. I just don't want to, you know, just make a little jewelry where you, it looks like everything else that you see, you know, in
right.
you know, the dime store or whatever. But I want to learn how. Are those the type of classes that you do? Where you could
absolutely.
So do you? What actually are your classes? Are they in the bead making, or are they in the wire wrapping? Or tell us a little bit about the classes you teach.
It's the physical aspect of making jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
So I have very specific classes that I offer. They're on my website.
And let us mention that real quick. The website is?
KatDesignsUSA.com.
And that's K-A-T?
K-A-T. Designs, D-E-S-I-G-N-S-U-S-A.com.
Okay.
And I offer a huge selection of classes because everybody wants to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
But once they learn some very, very simple techniques, they can make just an amazing amount of jewelry. And then that's when the creativity starts flowing. They start mm-hmm. thinking, well, you know, I don't really want this in blue, but I sure love it in purple. And wouldn't these beads look great? All you need is one bead.
Mm.
One bead, and you can create the rest of the piece from that.
And see, the thing that I love about jewelry, too, is that because I like, I want to get really much more back into wearing colors. I'm so tired of wearing black. You know, as a yoga teacher, a lot of times you just end up wearing black because that's a basic color. And it's like, especially in the spring and summer, but a lot of times you can put colors together in your wardrobe. And if you have one piece that ties those unusual colors together, then all of a sudden the whole thing works together. You can put purple with blue and throw in some orange. And if you have a bracelet or necklace that has those colors in it, all of a sudden the whole thing comes together. And that accessory, I mean, you know, how many of us know that you can put something together and then just one or two accessories makes the whole thing just pop?
Well, it completely changes the dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always exciting.
And the thing is that I always find myself going, oh, if only I had a bracelet that had these colors. Or if only I had a necklace that had this. And I always think, you know, one of these days I got to learn how to make this myself so I can just make these things and I don't have to worry about going out there and trying to find it somewhere.
And it doesn't have to be a stressful process either. I always tell my students, if it's painful or if you're not having a good time, then stop doing it.
Right.
This is supposed to be therapy. This is supposed to take you out of your world and put you somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And you leave behind your worries and you get into doing your piece. And before you know it, it's done. And it's wonderful. It's part of the process.
Yay. And I love that you are sharing that with people. You're not just showing them how to string beads together. You're actually encouraging them to find their creativity and to allow it to manifest in such a way that it's enriching their lives, that it's adding to it rather than taking away from it.
Well, and my students really have no idea how much I get back from them. I mean, the gift that I receive is just tremendous. It's so rewarding to be able to pass on my passion
uh-huh.
and turn someone on to this because it's just a fabulous art form.
Well, and that's, I think that's one of the things for many of us. I love taking yoga. I love doing yoga. It is, keeps me healthy and thin and flexible. But I get a completely different, wonderful experience of yoga when I am sharing it with others and teaching classes and helping others to be, you know, healthy and flexible and stay, you know, thin and get stronger. So the gift is in many levels, but there's a whole different aspect of the gift that comes through the teaching. And I want to thank you very much for being not only an artist, but one who's out there teaching and sharing that gift with others. Now, do you have an email address? Also, just so people know, where are your classes generally located here in Southern California?
My classes are generally located down at the Tall Mouse Craft Store in Laguna Niguel.
Oh.
But I do mobile classes. I'll do private sessions. I can go anywhere.
So if somebody wanted to get, like, you know, four or five girlfriends together, they all have a bunch of jewelry stuff.
Call me.
Go over to the house and just have a girlfriend party. See, I love
Wouldn't that be
stuff
fun?
Like that. That would be absolutely
yeah.
so fun.
Yes.
Yes, I will definitely have to think about doing that, especially maybe coming up here in May.
I'd love to teach you.
Oh, yay. So do you have an email or phone number, either of those things that people can contact you if they just wanted to shoot you an email and contact you, find out about not only your work, which, again, is showcased on you have examples of your work on your website. Can people purchase your art, your jewelry through the website?
I don't have anything set up for purchase. They can contact me for a price list. I'm doing a show this Saturday at the Bowers Museum called The Art of Adornment.
Oh, yes. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, it's a fabulous show. It's been sponsored by the Bead Society of Orange County for the last 12 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a huge show. We have over 70 vendors.
Mm-hmm.
It's an artisanal event, so most of the things that are sold are handmade.
Okay.
Everything has to have beads. It's just a really beautiful show, and it's in a great location. The Bowers Museum is, it's outdoors and it's free.
And where is that? What city is that in? I forgot.
It's in Santa Ana on Main Street.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great museum
and that's
as well.
Or
that's on Saturday on the 25th.
Oh, I wonder if I can get there between my morning work and my afternoon work.
Oh, you've got to come. It's a great show. Thankful, I think the weather is going to be nice this year.
Is it outside?
It's outdoors.
Oh.
Yeah. We've got it outside the museum and then inside the inner courtyard, which is just a beautiful location.
And what time did you say it starts?
It starts at 10 and it goes to 4.
Oh, okay, great. Actually, that will work out perfectly because my second yoga class is over at 11 and I'll be right there in Tustin and I can just shoot right down there and you'll be over there. People can meet you.
Be there. People can contact me for my classes via my website. My email address is on the website. It's Kat.
K-A-T.
K-A-T at katdesignsusa.com.
Great. And you're also going to be at the Artisans Fair,
at
Soul at Home, which is going to be on Sunday, May 3rd. You'll be over there from 12 to 5 p.m. showcasing your works along with some other artists. It's going to be such a lovely venue there. It's an absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous place to be and to enjoy the work of artists. Kat, I want to thank you so much. I can't believe how fast the time goes talking about these things. Thank you for being in the world, not only sharing the beauty of your work, because I really don't think of it as just jewelry. I just think of it as your art. It's like, I love it. It's art.
Wearable art.
It is absolutely wearable art. And thank you for doing that. And also for teaching, helping other people, And I would like to encourage you who are listening, perhaps if you've always thought, I always kind of wanted to take a jewelry class and see, if maybe I have some talent doing that. Well, they can look on your website or they can, send you an email and maybe come and take a class. And if you're here in Southern California, right here in Orange County, maybe we'll all get together and have Kat come up here and do something in the Newport Beach or Irvine area. So if you want to email me, you can always contact me at askanelf. That's ASKANELF, askanelf at yahoo.com. And so that is just going to wrap up our time. Again, my guest has been Kat Clark this morning, and her website, if you would like to see some samples of her work and contact her about her work or her classes, that is Kat Designs USA. That's KATDesignsUSA.com, or you can email her at Kat@KatDesignsUSA.com, or you can see her at the Bowers the bead fair. Is there information somewhere that they can get information about the event over at Bowers Museum?
Yeah, they can go actually on our Bead Society website. It's beadsocietyoc.org.
Oh, that's great. And then they can find out about other things involving beads and bead making and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And again, that's this coming Saturday.
It's coming Saturday.
In Saturday afternoon, so it should be a lovely outdoor venue. And then Sunday, May 3rd, over at Soul at Home. The information, if you'd like to contact our friends at Soul at Home, 714-573-7685. Again, 714-573-7685. And their website is www.soul. That's SOUL @home.com. They are located on 17th Street in Tustin, right off the 55 freeway. So very, very close to where we are here. And it's going to be a lovely day there on May 3rd, Sunday, May 3rd. In the meantime, I hope you will stay tuned because Janine is coming up in just a few moments with Mom's Rockin' the House, and her guest this morning is going to be the Ramies. So she's having a live band on, and Janine herself will be very soon doing a venue. She and Coco B and the band that they've put together, they're going to be over at the Taste of Ladera, which is coming up in just a few weeks, and I don't have my little information here, but you can find out more about that if you want to tune in next week, because my guests are going to be Janine of Mom's Rock in the House and Coco B of Yogi World, and we're going to be talking about ways that you can participate with us here in the Fun Drive and about their journey as artists and musicians, and we're just going to be having a whole bunch of fun next Thursday morning. And in 2 weeks, I'm very excited because my very, very special guest is going to be Edward Hirsch, the author of How to Read a Poem and Fall in Love with Poetry, and he is also the president of the John Simon Guggenheim Foundation, a foundation supporting artists and with fellowships and grants. So that's going to be a very special time as well. So in the meantime, our time is up here on What Would Arwen Do? I hope you will come back next week. And the most important thing is I hope that you will find that thing that fuels your heart. If you think that you aren't creative, I hope you will think again and get out there and try something. Please cherish every single day of your journey, every part of your path. Give and receive love freely. As you know, I'm a big advocate of giving all of our friends and creature friends and our families big hugs and kisses right on the mouth. It's a good thing. And please never give up on your dream or your passion. Find out what fuels your soul and find a way to manifest it in the world. I promise your life will be enriched as well as those of people around you. So we're going to leave with a little bit of music here from the Lord of the Rings. And in fact, going to play another song to get your blood kind of going for Mom's Rockin' the House. So we're going to play Flaming Red Hair, which is the birthday party song at Bilbo's birthday party. One of my favorite songs, which was not on the original soundtrack from The Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring, but it is in the complete recordings, music by Howard Shore. So in the meantime, please have a lovely day. And to all my friends on Tolkien Online, you are my heart. And I think I forgot to mention Vana and Guru, listening from up in Washington. But I may have forgot to mention you, but I didn't forget to love you. So have a wonderful day wherever you are. Be safe. And get out, get some fresh air. This is KUCI in Irvine. I'm Tani Chenuvial. Until next week, I will say, Namarie.